We are back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. On a below-zero day following a snowstorm, it is hard to imagine the farm fields around Wisconsin at harvest time. But that's what farmers are always thinking about, or about getting the crops in.
It has been a while since we've chatted with contributor Dave Kozlowski about his work at Pine Hole Gardens. Since things are a little slow on the farm, and since the ground is frozen and covered in snow, he had a little time to come in to talk with Audrey Nowakowski about what might have been his most challenging year to date.
I think a lot of folks probably even noticed it at the farm markets and stuff this summer. There was less produce, less variety. It was a tough year. It was a really tough year, and not just for Pinehold or not just for southeastern Wisconsin, but pretty much anybody, southern part of the state, southern half of the state. It started out with what looked like, and to sort of paraphrase Dickens, it started out to look like the best of years that turned into the worst of years. February and March looked nice. A little bit of rain. February, actually, it rained in February, so it was warm. March was a typical March, up and down. I was particularly hopeful for the season come the end of March. We got some rain in April and a little bit of snow here and there. But for the most part, it looked pretty good until tax day. The middle of April, we got 3 inches of snow, and then a couple of days later, 3 more inches of snow. But even then, that wasn't dampening my spirits and most of the farmers I talked to, because the weather had been fairly mild. It had been a relatively dry winter. Snow is something that readily absorbs into the ground. And for us folks, I tend to think of it as the poor man's fertilizer, because it carries a little bit of nitrogen with it and a little bit of acid with it, and that takes it into the soil, and that's a good thing. So by the end of April, I was fully anticipating an early season. Then May struck. And by mid-May, sometime around the mid-May, we had 2 weeks of rain. Ours tend to come inch at a time, half inch, inch, but every day it just rained and it rained and it rained. The ground saturated. It was just soaked. We were not getting into the fields. Nobody was. And then May warmed. But May was warm. And so we got the rain and then the weeds took off. So I got wet ground, growing weeds, you can't cultivate, nobody can take a tractor out there, crops get lost in the weeds. We made the best of it. I think everybody just sort of said, well, you know, what's the saying? If you get lemons, you make lemonade. People did the best they did, that they could. Some people bought new equipment. I read of some farmers who bought new equipment just for yanking huge weeds out of the field. I was not above going through the field with my mower raised up and mowing the tops of the weeds down. We had to deal with them somehow. But summer went along. We got some crops here and there.
So how did it reduce your crop planting?
August.
With those weeds?
Well, in the spring, it was because it was so wet we couldn't plant some crops. Mm-hmm. Some got in, some didn't. And some of the ones that got in late. Potatoes, peas, onions, those are all planted in April, but we couldn't get in until later. So we anticipated lower yields, and of course that was the case. But we still anticipated yields. It was August that ultimately killed things. The ground stayed fairly wet all summer. We did very little irrigating. And then we got another 6.6 inches of rain in August. That killed a lot. That killed us personally, killed our carrot crop, did a number on our cabbages and fall broccolis and things like that. Sandy estimated that we lost, my wife estimated thousands of dollars in produce losses. You just kind of suck it up. I mean, it was everybody I talked to, and there was a number of farmers across the state, said it was the worst year ever, and I would totally concur. In 25 years, that was our worst season ever. And it had everything to do with the weather, the rather extreme weather. We anticipate that we're going to get, you know, 30, 32 inches of rain every year. That happens. That's what our average is. But usually it comes a little bit at a time.
Right. Not in thirds or, you know.
Not prolonged rain events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So with the rain and the weeds and that diminishing when you could plant and the crops not ultimately not thriving, now that we are here in winter, you know, it's been very dry. So it's kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. So what does a very, very oversaturated season, prime season, and a very dry winter. What does that do to your soil quality? And I imagine being an organic farm, you don't necessarily take perhaps any extra measures that non-organic farms can do to use supplemental chemicals or fertilizers or things like that to supplement those changes. So what do you need to do in order to try and sustain a healthy soil and a healthy crop ground?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I would disabuse you of the notion that it's a dry winter. We don't have snow, which might make you think it's a dry winter, and the ground is frozen and you can walk on it and not collect mud. But it's actually, I don't want to say an overly wet winter, but there's plenty of moisture in the ground.
Okay.
Plenty of moisture in the ground. And now we have snow coming up, so there will be more moisture on top of that. The things that we can do, both organic and non-organic farmers really, are fairly limited when it comes to moisture, when it comes to rain. You can't take water out of a field. Well, you can in some ways. You could put tiles in the field and they'll draw some water out, but that's deeper water in the soil and usually not surface water. So it's hard to take the water out of the field in any one or two rain events, and easy to put in. The only thing you really can do is, one, put up more greenhouses where you can control the environment better, and two, which is something that I did this year, which I am usually not wont to do, is work up the early ground, plow up the early ground first, so that it will dry in given a wet spring. I don't like to do that, really, because I'm kind of a soil geek, and there's so much biology in the soil that you disrupt every time you run a plow through it. And it bounces back a little bit more in the warm weather, but you can do some serious damage to it in the wintertime. However, I didn't have a choice. There are crops like onions and peas and potatoes, early lettuces, things like stuff that needs to go in early. And if you don't get onions in mid to late April, they will never size up as onions.
So I know you have two greenhouses on your property in Pinehold Gardens, but are you considering going into the future, if more seasons are like this with the weather changing, being less predictable, of putting up more greenhouses and having that as another fail-safe?
If I could turn back the clock 20 years, yeah, that's exactly what I'd do. But the problem is we're older now, and I'm not sure that we can find somebody to buy the farm. If we could, I would consider the investment and just turn that around to somebody else to run. But at this point, greenhouses aren't cheap. They're not super expensive, but they're not cheap either. And you'd be looking at adding another $20,000, $30,000 of debt. Would we get that money back in the next 3 years, if that's how long we want to keep farming?
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it sort of depends on markets, what you're growing in there and whatnot. So it's crossed my mind, and I do have materials on the farm now where I can put up what we call mini greenhouses. We can put them up very quickly. I can get them up in an hour or two, have them covered, grow things in there, take them down, move them someplace else. But as far as static greenhouses, large things, I think a lot of people are going towards that. It's not what we consider an option for us right now.
What do you think needs to happen this winter, come spring, that will set you up for better success next year to make up for this bad year? I mean, how long does it take to recover from a hard season like this? Or at least that you can recall. I mean, you said this was the worst you've experienced,
yeah,
but in other past bad seasons,
yeah,
you know, does it take than just 1 year to recover?
It would take a couple of seasons to recover. Yeah, it would take a couple of seasons to recover because, like most small farms, we're limited by the land that we have to plant. And so I am not wont to plow up and use land that I wasn't planning on this year just to recoup some of the profit from last year. That just creates greater problems down the road. So it would take a couple of good seasons in a row to make up what we lost this year. And I think that's probably true of most farms in this business. Unless you switch to some really high value crop, you know, for a season to try to recoup. But there's problems with that too, labor problems and whatnot.
So what can consumers do in the off season, in the winter, in order to help out local farms. You know, where can people go? I know we have a few winter's farmers markets here across the Milwaukee area. Mm-hmm. So are those the main bread and butter for farmers in the off season? What are you doing with Pinehold in the winter? Because you don't just stop working.
I wish.
All right.
You know, the winter market at the Domes was really the place to buy produce in the wintertime. And it still is a really good place to buy produce in the wintertime. But a lot of local farms now offer abilities to buy directly from the farm throughout the winter. Most of them have online stores that you can go to. And they will either distribute it or you can pick it up at the farm. But a lot of the farms I know continue doing that throughout the winter. We do that. We don't maintain an online store per se, but we do have the ability for people to email us an order. We pack it. And for instance, there's orders going out today.
So what kind of produce are you able to deliver in the winter?
Unfortunately, it's most of the stuff that people don't want. It's the alliums, onions, garlic, shallots, squashes, beets, turnips, rutabagas, carrots.
So mostly root vegetables.
Mostly root vegetables, potatoes, yeah.
Okay.
We used to maintain the greenhouse year-round and plant spinach and lettuce and things like that. We haven't done that for a couple of years. And that's one thing when you're talking about recouping our losses from last year. I probably should have done that this year. But
do you think it's something you'll do next year?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Just because we have the facility there, and I feel the obligation to do it. It's not so much the money. It never has been the money for me in this business. I feel I have this obligation to feed people, and if I have the opportunity to grow things, I should do that.
Now, with that attitude, you know, I suppose that kind of answers my question, but it's how do you stay resilient as a farmer? You know, if you and other people that you know in the same business, you know, it's the worst year, how do you carry on?
I don't know. Spring comes around and you just want to do it again. Farmers, and this goes for the commodity folks and us produce people and orchardists and grass-based farm, anybody who's in this business, you are both the world's worst pessimist and the world's greatest optimist. You can't go into this without hoping that things are going to be better. But you don't go into this without planning for the worst. It was tough to psych up for this year. At the end of last year, every farmer I talked to was like, oh, they would say, Dave, I just left stuff in the field. You know, I didn't even do this to the greenhouse. I didn't finish this on the I didn't want to do anything. I just am so tired of the year. And I was with them totally on that. But now it's starting to creep around. Days are getting longer, and I still have the bug. So I will do what I can, and we're a little wiser now for the rain events that we've had. We're not going to pretend that things like that aren't going to happen again. I think they will. We're in an entirely different environment now. Nothing is as it was 25 or 30 years ago. So we just have to prepare for it. We just have to change some ways we plant, plowing, like I said earlier, too. Greenhouses, if you can do that. We know a lot of young people that are going to this, and one of the first things they do is pop up a greenhouse. It was not the first thing I did when I started this. So, you know, people are catching on. But you don't go into this without wanting to do it. And when that day comes, you know, when February rolls around and I just go to my wife, I go, oh, I just can't do this anymore. That's when it's time to hang it up.
But not today.
But not today.
Well, I, for one, am very grateful for your attitude in that. And until we speak next time, Dave, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Audrey.
Dave Kozlowski co-owns with his wife, Sandy Redens, Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek. He is a regular Lake Effect contributor, and you can listen to our past farming segments with him at WUWM.com.